A lot of people have been saying the triumph of a man like Donald Trump is unprecedented in American history, but our history desk disagrees with that. Our historian in chief, Chris Wolf, is here to explain. So, Chris, who's on your mind?
Old Hickory, the hero of New Orleans, the champion of the common man, bloody, bloody Andrew Jackson, 7th president of the United States from 1829 to 1837, father of both the Democratic Party and arguably the father of modern politics.
All right, so what are the parallels?
Let's start with the hair. Well, we all know the face from the $20 bill, but take a look at that big unruly shock of hair.
What a pompadour that is.
It was red, just to give you a sense of the immediate parallel. But he was also extremely controversial, charismatic, combative, quick-tempered, unpredictable, showy, self-publicizing, and a genius of marketing.
Okay, so that's a fairly strong case. What about the differences, though?
Andrew Jackson, unlike Donald Trump, was very much the self-made man. He had been a poor orphan, but made his fortune first as a lawyer and then in real estate speculation. And then there's the undoubted courage he showed in the service of his country. He fought in numerous wars against the British, the Spanish, and various Native American peoples. And he got his nickname, Old Hickory, from repeatedly exposing himself to the enemy's fire and never getting hit. Now, he did get shot a couple of times while dueling and brawling, but not in battle against those various enemies.
Did Andrew Jackson have a lot of populist support?
He saw himself and was seen by the American people as the champion of the little man. He took the grievances of the little man, which were many, the ordinary farmer and the mechanic, and hurled them against what he called the aristocracy of the few, the established political elite of the East Coast cities, personified for Andrew Jackson by John Quincy Adams, a cosmopolitan diplomat, son of a president, John Adams. And he basically took the political establishment, shook it up and threw it out. So that part of his background is kind of similar to the Donald. But there's also another part of his background that's similar, the real estate speculation based on very controversial deals. He basically established a futures market in the lands of various Native American peoples, which was not actually up for sale. But he traded and obtained various plots of land. Eventually, part of this became the city of Memphis, which he founded in 1819. The other interesting parallel that people might like to know is that he was also the victim of the first deliberate smear campaign during the 1828 presidential election.
So how did Andrew Jackson actually do as president?
It depends whose history you read. He was semi-deified by the Democratic Party later in the 19th century. They even adopted a nickname of his as a badge of honor. The donkey that you see as the Democratic Party emblem was a deliberate play on his name. They called him Jackass Jackson in the 1828 election campaign. So he definitely shook up the political establishment. He was very responsive to public opinion. He was seen as a bit of a, what we'd call in old England, a nutter. He was not someone you bluffed with. If he made a threat, you were pretty sure he could well carry that out, like he could push the button. And that helped him actually preserve the Union when South Carolina threatened to secede over a tariff reform. He made a pretty believable threat and eventually got the South Carolinians to back down. He did take on big business. He even shut down the central bank of the time, the Second Bank of the United States. But that led to a boom based on easy credit, which was followed by the inevitable crash, causing the worst depression that the country had ever seen up to that point, 4 years before there was any kind of recovery. But that largely got blamed on his successor. The much bigger blot to a lot of people's minds, especially in the 21st century, is the policy that was called back then Indian removal. There was tens of thousands of Native American people in both what's now the southern states and also the Midwestern states, as we call them now, that were basically forced to leave their ancestral homelands, and thousands died along the way. And, you know, there's an argument to be made, given the kind of interest that Jackson had in trading in those lands, that this was really in the interests of real estate speculation rather than national security. And some people have accused him of almost a genocidal actions against Native Americans. And then Alexis de Tocqueville, the great narrator of American politics in the early 19th century, he was not impressed with Jackson at all. He just thought he was trading on his reputation as a general and particularly highlighted his disregard for institutions and the law.
All right. I know you won't go reaching for straws, but do you think any of this Andrew Jackson history prefigures today?
Well, we can't possibly tell the future or what kind of president Donald Trump is going to be. I think the only real comparison is to say that Trump actually fits in to an established American political tradition of charismatic, populist, anti-establishment, proto-demagogues, let's call them, who periodically come along, shake things up, but don't necessarily leave the world a better place.
The World's One Man History Desk, Chris Wolf, thanks very much for this.
You're welcome, Marco.